We begin this week with a shift in expectations. We're talking about the prospects that many more young people with cognitive disabilities have now once they leave school. And it's good news. In past generations, if a teen or young adult with intellectual or developmental disabilities could go to school, there still weren't many meaningful opportunities for real work. But I spoke recently with John Dickerson. He's executive director of the ARC of Indiana. He says things are changing.
A lot of folks don't realize what great opportunities there are, because we have historically looked at folks coming out of school with a disability. Most don't have a diploma. They get a certificate of completion. And then they go out in the work world, and it's just kind of a mystery to them. We are seeing now a dramatic change. Yes, we still have high unemployment, but we are seeing exciting things happen. Young man in Albuquerque, New Mexico, whose parents defied all odds, he happens to have Down syndrome, but he owns his own restaurant. His brother, who doesn't like people too much, is the cook. Tim is the maitre d' extraordinaire. So we are seeing a change in the landscape. We're seeing businesses like Walgreens hire folks, not because it's a good disability policy, but they're exceptional workers. And it's growing dramatically in what we're thinking about the future for individuals.
So, John, what has really changed? Because, I mean, for many years, there were places where people would go, you know, with people with disabilities. And those places are tending to go away, you know, one sort of type of job or one sort of, you know, manufacturing X product. But what you're talking about is just kind of an opening. So something must be, or a few things must be really kind of shifting.
Well, at the ARC, we've been trying to expand people's thinking and opening the door to new ideas, because nobody ever really starts off knowing exactly what they're going to do in life. And so when I started in this field 42 years ago, the idea was go to school. And of course, in the beginning, we couldn't go to school because our kids weren't allowed in school until 1975. So then the idea is, once you get done with school, you maybe would go to a workshop, a building. That's where you went. That was where you graduated to. And today, some families still need something like that, because mom's a single mom, needs somewhere to go 40 hours a week. But we have a whole range of programs through Voc Rehab and now a Medicaid waiver program that I hope, if your listeners have a son or daughter leaving school, they need to know. Any child with a disability who's eligible leaving school, Indiana now is committed to them to have support in finding a job, creating options in the community that didn't exist 10 years ago. So it's changing dramatically. And the key thing for families is unlocking that ability to dream. Mm-hmm. When I started in this field, people would say, Barbara, you know, keep your dreams down. You know, your son won't be able to do this, won't be able to do that. And so you didn't expect much. Now we're wanting people to dream about what makes you happy. What would make you fulfilled in what you're doing? A young man named Cameron, I could introduce you, in Fort Wayne, graduated from Fort Wayne Snyder High School with a full diploma. He wants to be a music therapist. He also happens to have Down syndrome. Now, he won't take a usual path to be a music therapist, but he now got a job as an intern at a great company up there called Sweetwater Sound, one of the biggest music and sound companies in the world.
We've given them money for equipment for
sound
medicine. Yes,
great people. Yes. But he's pursuing a dream in music. And this idea that we need to think beyond a label into what is it you can do. Exact Target, great company right here, is exploring hiring people with autism to write code. Now, when you start thinking about what people can do as opposed to what label they have, all kinds of possibilities are out there.
So for I'm thinking of, as a parent, and you're giving me all these great examples. So how early should I be trying to figure out what a good fit for my child is?
Well, we really want you to start as early as possible. And we want kids on a diploma track. Because if you want a job, first thing they say is, do you have a high school diploma? And so the idea is, as early as possible, think about what that future is, just as you do for any other child along the way. And they may have various different labels, but what they have is also various gifts. And how do we unlock those gifts? We have schools that are doing more and more about helping kids experience jobs while they're still in high school, and understanding that there's a whole wonderful world of work out there that can be fun and enriching.
Are there fields that tend to hire more people than others?
It's really all across the map, but okay. Some are better. One of the reasons we're doing a unique project in this country where the ARC is building a 150-room courtyard by Marriott in Muncie, Indiana. It'll have the first training institute embedded in it where students will come from 4 to 8 weeks, learn and live in the hotel, work in it, and come back with a work credential in the hospitality field because it's one of the fastest growing areas, one of the areas you can advance in, and it is a great hiring opportunity for people with disabilities. We have a fellow at the Westin, he's worked there 18 years, and that's an employee you want. So we're looking at industries or businesses that are welcoming, but at the same time, we find retail, manufacturing, a wide variety of it. Cook Equipment down in Bloomington has hired a number of people with disabilities. They're making heart defibrillators and pieces for heart catheters. And so it's really, as we start getting to employers, getting them to think differently. And the good news is, as unemployment goes down, employers are looking for good employees. And once they get by that barrier, that, gee, that person with a disability, I don't know if I can deal with that, and they realize they're good workers and are actually upping production in some manufacturing applications, all of a sudden they're saying, boy, bring us more of these folks. We're doing well. It's finding the right fit, finding the right folks that want to work in that, and it turns out to be magic when it happens. We want to help people get over some of those barriers. We have other companies like Lowe's down in Southern Indiana or Walmart in their distribution center that said, look, we'll train them. We know what to do. We want good workers. Don't worry. Just bring them in. We'll be fine. One of our folks talked about when they were asked what kind of job they wanted. Nobody ever asked them that before. And so they took them out. Let's go look. What jobs are like? And where do you want to work? And you know what she said? I want to work with nice people. Okay, we can start with that.
Yeah.
Let's start with nice people. Most people want to work with nice people.
Was it hard to find that place?
No. She ended up, but you know what she went? She talked to some of their classmates in high school. Where did they like working? And where were people good to you?
I'm speaking with John Dickerson, Executive Director of the ARC of Indiana, and we're talking about expanding work opportunities for people with disabilities. And we're joined in the studio by Michelle Fisher, who's a really good example about what he's talking about. Michelle lives with cerebral palsy. She works for the Wabash Center in Lafayette, Indiana, and she's always wanted to be a broadcast journalist.
I wanted to be an anchor when I was 6 years old. I was like, Mom, let's turn on the news. And so she turned on the news, and I'd sit as close to the TV as I could and watch what the anchors did and understanding that how to ask questions and draw people out. So that kind of just was it for me. I had been trying to cope with my own disability. I have cerebral palsy. So I was trying to carve out my own career path. And like John said, it was a lot of rocky roads along the way. And I didn't have a lot of confidence, but journalism was what gave me the confidence that when I became behind this mic, I was normal.
So let's talk about the podcast.
We do a lot of wonderful interviews. I actually did an interview with one of my, John and I do a lot of interviews together, but I did another interview with one of my mentors that actually I got in contact with at our local TV station when I was 17. And I said, can you help me be an anchor? And he was the one who really took me and said, you know what, whatever you want to do, I will be behind you. And he didn't care about the disability, and so neither did I. And we have become great friends now. He has a little boy with autism now, so he is spreading autism awareness around his city of Carmel and around the state of Indiana.
Well, you have to tell his name because he sounds like he's quite the hero of yours.
He is Paul Howell. He was an anchor back when, probably in the 90s or so. So it was so awesome to get to interview him and kind of come full circle and say thank you to him.
Okay, so how long is are your podcasts? How often do you do them?
We do them every week, and they last, we've gotten them down to like 20 minutes now. So we do lots of cool things, and my team is always behind me, and this is kind of what I just have never dreamed. I never dreamed that this could actually happen to me, but it is now. So it's an awesome opportunity now.
So can we find your podcast by going online?
Yes, you can actually find them on arcind.org, and you can go under the tab Our Programs, and then go down to A View From My Window, and all the 70 or so episodes we've done so far are there.
Well, we wish you the best, Michelle. I can see where you'd be very, very good. I can't wait to listen to one of your podcasts.
Thank you.
And John Dickerson, thank you so much for being here as well.
Well, Barbara, thank you, and we appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You're great.